Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour. Your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal, best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour. Did you miss us? It's only been a week, but a lot can happen in a week. It can be a long time.
I missed us.
Hell, some marriages don't even last a week. So, you know, we understand if you missed us. We're happy to be back.
If you're going through a divorce right now, we're very sorry.
Yes. It can be a painful time.
Especially that week-long transition. Right.
You get accustomed to certain things, you know, over a weekend, and you expect it beyond that. But anyway, so we've got some interesting stories. You'll hear more about them in a little bit. First, let's talk about some beer.
Beer, yay.
Yay, yay beer.
Yay, beer. Beer, yay, beer. Yay, beer. Today we are drinking Bell's. Bell's has a really, really broad range of flavors that they put into their beer. And we're drinking the Kalamazoo Stout today.
Kalamazoo,
which has this really creepy guy on the front of the bottle. I don't really get it, but it says on the front that it's brewed with licorice. And Funk gave us the dirty eye because he's not a big fan of licorice. Jer and I both are. We're unanimous in that we can't taste the licorice.
Not in the slightest.
Obviously it pours black. It pours, you know, opaque. It pours like death, which is just the way I like my beers.
Right.
To me, it just tastes like a pretty standard stout. It's nothing different, nothing surprising.
It's a very good.
Yeah, stout. No, it is. I'm enjoying it. I don't generally drink stouts regularly, but this one is good. I could see myself having another one.
Well, it's more on the bitter side of stouts versus the sweet side of like Murphy's and Guinness and the like.
Right. Yeah.
This is much more roasty, more.
And those are the kind that I generally prefer.
Yeah, it's completely other.
Guinness. I'm
side
not.
Of
I'm not
spectrum.
A fan of Guinness, really.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hurts my soul a little bit. It's okay. No, it's pretty yummy. It's a 6% ABV, and it's got a nice lacing, or it did when we poured it, but I've been drinking mine, so that happens. How's it feel in your mouth, Funk?
Heavy, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, no.
No.
Are we going to have the discussion that stouts are lighter, thinner, they float? I love schooling men about beer.
Thinner than what?
When you like, people always say that Guinness is so heavy. No, Guinness is not heavy. It is actually quite light. It's light in calories. When you make like a drink, like for example, when you make like a any type
the
of
the Guinness floats.
Yeah, the Guinness floats on the top because it's lighter than most beers. So mm-hmm. I don't like when people say it feels. You can say it tastes heavy, but it doesn't feel heavy.
I don't know. I think it feels creamy, which to me would kind of
giggity.
Yeah. It would lend itself to describing it as heavy.
All right.
Personal opinion. I mean, you know, I don't think it's a heavy beer, but
I'll let it slide.
All right. I'm just saying.
So cheersing to the non-heavy heavy.
Yep.
Word.
So my first story, when I read this one, it kind of blew my mind. We talk a lot about, you know, what's coming up in the future, robots and all these kinds of things. And I think one of the things that we overlook a lot of the times is, you know, even once this stuff is invented, we have to start using it. And humans are fairly notorious for being resistant to change and these kind of things. Americans, especially, you know, the rest of the world technologically is way ahead of us. We talked about the automated cars and how Japan is already all over that stuff. So this headline, 3.5 million people are still using AOL dial-up.
3.5 million?
Yes.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S., no. In the U.S., 3.5 million people are still using AOL dial-up. Their subscriber base is obviously in decline. They lost about just shy of 1,950,000 subscribers last quarter, but gained 200,000. So a net of about negative 700, but gained 200,000 subscribers.
Fail.
Well, one of the problems is there are still large patches of rural America that have no broadband access, and that's why we tend to lag behind, you know, worldwide as far as broadband penetration goes. But
sure, but 3.5 million have dial up.
Yep, I can't At this point in my life, I would rather have no internet than dial up, just because being accustomed to broadband, anything less would it just be frustrating.
Yeah. No. That's not okay.
Well,
no.
I mean, I can barely remember the last time I had phone service at my house. Yeah. That, I mean, obviously cell service, but not like honest, like copper cable.
Right. Oh yeah. I can't either.
Uh-uh.
And this kind of got me thinking, you know, cause we've grown up through this transition of basically no connectivity through to, you know, pagers and cell phones and then, you know, dial up and broadband. We went through all this stuff. Me personally, I can't remember any of those transition points. I can just remember the before time and then the after time. Like I don't remember the day where I got broadband and was like, oh my God, I can look at hundreds of pictures of naked women in the time it took me to look at one before. Like you would think that that day would stick in your brain, but it's lost to me.
No, I actually remember that day.
Really?
Well, because I was using, believe it or not, an 8086 laptop mm-hmm. with an external 2400 baud modem.
Right.
And this is back in the day when the entire internet was text-based.
Right, yeah.
And so you
bulletin got the boards and
yeah,
all that kind
Usenet
of stuff,
right. and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you started downloading a picture of porn and
come back an hour later.
Seriously, go have lunch.
Right.
What was cool
Jer,
was...
you are a human fossil.
I am. But then I got my first real computer, and it was a screaming 486.
Right.
DX2 66 megahertz mm-hmm. with a 28.8 modem.
A nerdy human fossil.
28.8 modem at that point was...
Yeah.
You, at that point, the bottleneck was on the receiving end of the AOL dial-up.
Right.
They didn't have anything to cope with that, or yep. very few. But yeah, and then I remember... First time I got to plug into a network and then wireless. Now I've got wireless on all the boxes at the house.
Yeah. Maybe it was because my first one was probably at school, which is probably why it doesn't stand out as it wasn't like a personal accomplishment. It's just like I'm going to school now and this is here. So cool.
I remember a buddy of mine's apartment back in Nashville and he got ISDN, mm-hmm. which was much faster than anything else you could get.
Right.
It was the equivalent of having a T1 line going into your apartment. Right. It was awesome.
Oh, I remember when I had a phone. I had to have it for an alarm system because it mm-hmm. had to, like, the alarm system had to go through the phones. And I don't even know. I finally got rid of it. But the only time I ever plugged the phone in was to call my cell phone if I lost it.
Right. Yep. So obsolete technologies.
Wow.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. And it also the article did have an interesting graphic. It was AOL subscriber base compared to Netflix mm-hmm. From about like late 90s. And it was almost a direct inverse correlation. You know, they started off and it's just the complete opposite at the end.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Where do you even get a modem nowadays?
You probably can't. I mean, well, I guess you can if they're picking up subscribers. I don't know, but
somebody's got them.
Yeah.
As soon as you said modem, I thought of the noise.
Actually, and I probably do because I have back at my old house in West Palm Beach, I've got a graveyard of old technology and I'm pretty sure there's a few, you know, 56K or 28.8 baud modems lying around.
It might benefit you
I ever need AOL.
Well, I was going to say to put those on Craigslist in West Virginia,
right?
Where you know the majority, I'm sure, of this is happening.
Yep, I'm sure I get top
middle
dollar.
Of no place. Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. Nice. Mm-hmm. 3.5 million.
Yep.
Those people are not listening to us right now.
They can't. Yeah. They can't.
The episode will be downloaded 2 months from now if they started.
So when you're hearing this, go ahead and send your hate mail.
By letter. Not email.
No. They can't even post on Facebook. Far too graphics intensive. Mm-hmm.
God, that's so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's 1% of the U.S. population.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, the numbers there are just
crazy.
Staggering.
Yep.
And those are subscribers to their households, so it's more than 1% of the population that are using that as access.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I don't know how many households there are. I just know approximately how many people there are.
It would be interesting to see if those people have smartphones and use the internet primarily via that source.
Could be.
Because you wouldn't, I mean, you don't have to have the broadband line to have that access.
Tower,
so,
right.
In which case, why the hell would you have AOL to begin with?
I don't know. You'd have to tether.
But and a lot of it was and they did admit that some of the numbers were probably people who were still being billed for the service and didn't even realize it. I mean,
they've died.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
still hitting the credit card.
$15-$20 a month that you can, you know, if you're stupid, can go unnoticed.
And actually, you know what? I think my sister still has her account.
Yeah.
And but she's grandfathered in, so she's paying like $10 a month, so right. We can all just keep our old email addresses.
Okay.
But yeah, wow, it just occurred to me I'm actually one of those people.
Good work, Jer.
Get out.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not personally.
Give us your card and get out.
No, it's thanks, sis.
But it also it does say a lot about AOL is probably on the decline, because even, you know, they've tried to branch out into other things like news and that kind of stuff, but their largest income is still from ISP stuff. So
really?
Yeah.
Which means everybody else is really stupid, 3.5 million people, or they just really suck at everything else.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably really suck at everything else. Companies don't usually survive that, hey, let's become a different type of company sort of transition. It does happen occasionally, but usually it doesn't.
Right.
Fascinating.
Start as an ISP, die as an ISP.
Well, and of course, on the very, very opposite side of the spectrum, I came across a clip. Louis C.K. was on Conan O'Brien. And I think those are probably two of my favorite people, and I'd really like to get them in a room together and just let them go nuts. Ginger attack. But he makes this point that people aren't experiencing the world around them because they're too busy tweeting about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've established how I feel about Twitter, which is amazing because I'm definitely the one lacking attention span the most at the table. I just don't think I need to feed that handicap.
Right.
And I've got 6 Twitter accounts.
The point that he made in that video that I found the most interesting was not everything that you can do is a good idea. He makes this point that, you know, we've got these smartphones and it's like, okay, you can do this now. I'm going to do that. Like, right. That's not always the best way to do it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And unfortunately, our culture right now is
shiny new.
If I can do it, let mm-hmm. me do it. I don't care about the consequences.
Well, they've already said most people have done their thing with Siri now, and now it's hardly used at all by the bulk of iPhone 4. As people,
right.
Owners. Yeah.
And that's because, you know, as cool as it is, the technology still is just not there. It's not seamless enough.
Right.
I had the same thing when I first got my Android phone, because it's had, you know, voice to text right out the gate.
Right.
I used it for, you know, a day, and then it's like, okay, you know, having to hit the button and wait for it to beep and then talk, and it's just a pain in the ass.
Well, as often as it screws up.
Right. Until we get to the, you know, Iron Man type where it's walk into my house and, hey, Jarvis, do this, then we'll be good. But
I like Siri. I still use it. I mean, I went through the phase where, you know, I found out her favorite color is kind of greenish, but with more dimensions. I was trying to kill the battery on my phone because the battery memory. So I was just sitting there asking Siri, like, I was laying in bed, like half asleep, asking ridiculous questions, trying to get the battery to die. To just die so I can go to bed.
You were having trouble getting the battery on the 4S to die.
Yes.
Because I've been hearing most people having the opposite problem.
I'm not a traveler. Like, I've heard several people, like different posts and everything, say that, like, if you have the time zone service, it constantly pings your phone to find out what time zone you're in. Well, guess what? I live in Florida. I don't leave Florida that often. If I do, I'll turn the time zone thingy on. But right
and
now,
who,
it's off.
Who anywhere is changing time zones enough that it needs to be constantly
like that one guy is like, I'm on this side. Don't. I'm on this side. I'm over here.
It's 4 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock.
I wish we had video of that. That was amazing. I don't know if you can tell, but maybe if you're listening to headphones, you can hear Funk's voice go from one side to the other. A little Doppler effect in your brain.
I wonder how much juice it would take if he were in like Hawaii on a plane. Like, it's Saturday. It's Sunday. It's Saturday. It's Sunday.
Wouldn't take any more juice than 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I like Siri. I drive a lot, and I don't like texting while I'm driving. I do it. I'm sorry, but I don't like it. mainly because of a couple of close calls. But it's extremely.
That means you're just not doing it right.
There's plenty of things I do right. So anyway, I'm actually pretty impressed because, like, obviously the iPhone will start to learn words that don't exist that I use regularly. Like, for example, the one that I used was gangsta. Like, I had typed gangsta in a couple times. Sorry, I'm a silly little white girl. and when I told Siri to text message somebody, I said, you know, text this person. It pulls up and it's like, okay, what do you want to say? And I was like, what up, gangsta? And it actually, because I had typed it a couple times, it had spelled it correctly. So, like, Siri knows gonna, thinking, gangsta.
That's fairly
BT dubs. Like, it actually will recognize BT dubs.
And put BTW?
No, I type out BTW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my question was going to be, if it did BTW, then if you said Buffalo Wild Wings, it said B-dubs, would it do B-dubs and put that out rather than...
I don't know. I haven't texted Buffalo Wild Wings enough.
Yeah.
Now I want Asian Zing like real bad. Siri, where's the closest Asian Zing? Oh, I don't even want to know what that would pull up. Bad idea, bad idea, bad idea. So yeah, Louis C.K. and Jesus. You should check that video out.
Yeah. Link it in show notes.
So there's a couple interesting companies trying to pull out bizarre concepts out of their ass to compete with the iPhone and other such devices. They're coming up with really stupid shit.
Well, I think they've realized that they're not going to be able to compete with that form factor. So they got to come up with something
right
new.
Now, right. With our technology, it is like, and look at all the smartphones. They're all about the same size. They all have the same touchscreen interface. It's what is best for right now. So these people that are trying to come up with this shit is ridiculous. Like, and granted that there's these companies that there's one that we'll link, of course, that has a cell phone that runs off syrupy sweet drinks like Coca-Cola. It prefers Coca-Cola.
It's powered by?
It seems to be. I mean, they're literally just, it's a picture and a little blurb of like new shit that's coming out. But yeah.
Does it have a little funnel you pour it into?
No, and that's the funny part. That was the joke that they made.
Right? Or... Go into Subway, fill up a drink, drop your phone in. Yeah. And sorry, it was almost dead.
No, I would imagine that if you got the phone wet right. or sticky, it would be a problem.
That's why I'm wondering how that works.
But Nokia is the big one that everybody's talking about is the Nokia bendy one. And it's all plastic. And you can actually bend the phone itself. So like if you want to zoom in, you bend it towards you. So it zooms in if you want to zoom in. The problem with that is you can't put a camera. You can't, like a lot of the technology that we've grown accustomed to our phones just having, you can't do that in that platform.
Right.
Although the one that I thought was really cool, I think it's a Philips, hang on. It's called the Philips Fluid, and it's a bracelet, and it unsnaps, like seriously, it looks like a snap bracelet.
Mm-hmm. It does. That's
and
pretty cool.
And it unfolds into like a phone, but I immediately thought of like, remember the slap braces? Like obviously as soon as you touch them, they'd snap shut. You're holding it up to your phone and your phone snaps around your face. Hang on. I got my phone off my face now. I thought that was ridiculous.
I'm looking forward to the one. I think it's Microsoft that's developing it, but it just projects on your arm and then you can just interact with it there. That's
so much easier.
Yeah. Screw the device.
Right. Just. Why do you need all this hardware?
I just need the display and the input, you know?
Actually, Jawbone, the guys who make the Bluetooth headsets, just came out with a new bracelet.
The bracelet. I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool. Yeah. But I think it only runs on iOS.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Right, so I'm going to have to wait for the Android.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's got a pedometer, it measures your sleep cycles, and it's also the app is you take pictures of what you're going to eat and it'll analyze it and deduce the calories out of it.
Right.
Pretty
cool. I heard a wonderful discussion about it and somebody's like, if Paula Deen is making this biscuit and you've got a biscuit on your plate, how does it know how much butter's in there?
Right. Yeah. I'm sure it won't be perfect.
No, it'll be ballpark though.
Right. Yes. And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, you're going to use it for a day and then you're going to get tired of taking pictures of everything you eat.
First of all, things I don't want to know. I mean, I have, there's a smart, I think it's called Smart Cycle. It was an iPhone app that you lay the iPhone in your bed and using the gyroscope, it measures your sleep cycles. And I had to wake up and be like, okay, how did I sleep? I had to evaluate, how did I sleep last night? Because if I looked at the phone and my little, reading was like, I was like, oh crap, now I'm tired. Even I would wake up feeling perfectly rested and look at the phone and be like, guess I didn't sleep that well. Yawn. Like, and not to mention, like, we've joked around about like the robots learning about us. So now we're gonna strap one to our wrist and let it monitor everything in our lives.
Right.
I don't know.
No
about
privacy
that.
Issue there either.
I like the little smart sleep tracker one. Because I mean I didn't have that. It didn't influence how I felt when I woke up, but it was cool to see. Okay, here's the nice night where I was, passed out drunk and it's just boom, floored the entire night. And,
we should reiterate that that's not actually the point of the app. The point of the app is actually to wake you at your highest sleep state so that you feel less tired when you awake.
Right. So your alarm is not jarring you out of a deep dream. It's getting you when you're.
The downside is you put it on the bed and my cat will climb over my head frequently over the course of the night, and it's measuring just movement.
Right.
And so, yeah, the cat would set it off. And so it looked like I was, you know, awake every 15 minutes. And
That's why it'll be cool to have it on like a wristband or something. Right. Or it's much more integrated.
If the cat's walking over your head, you're not awake every 15 minutes.
No, I can sleep through just about anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have a slumber party and throw things at Jer's head. In this, the name of science, of course.
Of course.
It's an experiment.
On that note.
And this imagery. What would it sound like if you hit Jer with a trombone? I'm aware the trombone wouldn't actually make noise, but in my head it does.
Mm-hmm. I'm picturing a gong sound.
Yeah,
as soon as he wakes up, he gets hooked off the bed. That needs to happen.
Okay. On that note, I think it's time to get rebeard.
Yep, take a break.
So I'm going to take this lovely restful moment in between segments while the boys go fetch me a nice cold beer, sprawl out on the couch, and tell you a little bit about more where you can find me, more Jen, because everybody needs, all right, fine, you can find them too, Jer, Justin, and Jen all together on thehalfhourhappyhour.com, facebook.com/thehalfhourhappyhour, or find us on Twitter if you have mad ADD at thehhhh. So thanks for listening, guys. And my beer arrives, so back to the show. So we are re-bearded. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
And we're still talking about some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens here.
Very astute observation.
I'm pretty quick like that. I don't know if you noticed. So this afternoon, I wandered down to the Sarasota Chalk Festival, which is happening in our hometown right now. And if you've never had an opportunity to see some of this stuff, I mean, at least Google it. But some of these chalk artists are absolutely incredible. And they do like neat perspective things where from one angle, it looks like there's actually a pit. Like my favorite one, it's a pit and it's a bunch of terracotta soldiers, but the soldiers are Lego dudes. It's freaking awesome.
Right.
So you look at it from one perspective standing in the corner and it looks like there's a big hole in the cement. And then you move on the other side and it's creepy because obviously it's all distorted and whatever. The artists that do it are absolutely amazing. So I got on this art kick and I started looking for interesting forms of art. And I found quilling actually kind of took me off. I've never heard of quilling. I didn't know what it was. And it's literally taking strips of paper, different colored paper, and creating imagery with it. It's really hard to explain, so of course we'll link it on the website. But that's what got me going. I found this artist. Her name is Amy Shackleton. And she paints using no paintbrushes, just gravity. And she has this really interesting rig that she actually puts the canvas on the wall and turns it and everything and lets the paint run down it. And the art's absolutely incredible, so you guys will have to check that out. Then I found this. This one's very interesting. It's a tiger rug made out of 500,000 cigarettes. And it's crazy. But you can see like each of the individual, obviously it's either using the cigarette up or down. So it's a white or orange canvas and it looks like a tiger skin rug. So immediately I did the math, 500,000 cigarettes at an average of $7 a pack, 20 cigarettes in a pack. It's $175,000 worth of cigarettes. Huh. And the funny thing is, it looks like these artists are literally like, it's really interesting because when you look at these pictures, it doesn't look like they're contained at all. It looks like they're just kind of laying up against each other. So there's 500,000 cigarettes just sitting on the floor at this art museum in Virginia.
Glued. Once they get them laid down, I'm sure there's some kind of film that they put over it or something, but
it really doesn't. Maybe they're just taking the pictures before the installation's complete. Oh, I see a caulk gun. Never mind. Okay.
That's still though. I mean, there's a lot of crazy new styles of art that are coming out. And you know, it kind of got me thinking because we brought it up a couple episodes ago. And some of this stuff, it's this temporary art. And it makes me wonder, you know, like the chalk stuff, they do these crazy things with perspective where they look like 3D. And it makes me wonder, is this a new phenomenon? Have artists just recently discovered how to do this? Or has this kind of stuff been going on since
did
Da Vinci make 3D chalk things?
Well, more importantly, his sculptures, they were typically viewed from down below. Mm-hmm. So if you actually go face to face with some of these sculptures, they look nothing like what you see.
Okay.
Because they had to be sculpted based on perspective.
Okay.
So yeah, most of his sculptures look terrible up close.
Well, and the chalk level. The chalk phenomenon has been going on. I mean, it's people say it's an Italian tradition because it obviously happens in the piazzas in Italy quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And it's been happening for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Because, I mean, you know, I see art and it's, you know, whatever. But a lot of the it's a lot of the
robot.
A lot of the really interesting, cool stuff I usually see done in a temporary medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get the kind of crazy 3D perspective stuff in a painting. You get that in, you know, a chalk mural on the floor, whatever.
Right.
So it just made me start wondering, you know, how long has this been going on? And we just don't have any, you know, concrete proof of it because it was done in some sort of temporary medium.
Well, even when it's done in a temporary medium, like for these, you have to be at the right perspective to see it correctly.
Right.
But you can then take a picture from that perspective, mm-hmm. and it does justice to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as impressive as being right there.
Right.
But it does the trick.
Mm-hmm.
You can capture a lot of that kind of stuff now.
Now, yeah.
But, well, I mean, now da being
Vinci
the last...
Da Vinci didn't have a camera.
Right. But for the last...
And it seems to defeat the purpose of painting a picture of something that you drew.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I think the temporary artist, because we've got the Crystal Classic coming up next week, I think it is. And the Crystal Classic is a sand sculpting competition.
Yeah.
And of course, Siesta Key Beach is actually the artist that did the Lego dudes that I was just talking about. He's the one, if you guys saw the Google posts or the news, whatever else, it was all over
the
Google.
The giant Lego guy.
The giant Lego guy that washed up on Siesta Key Beach. Siesta Key Beach is probably about 20 minutes from where we sit right now. It's the number one beach in the U.S. right now, so it's getting a lot of attention. And this artist who did the Lego chalk drawing actually engineered the Lego dude.
So that was one of his publicity stunts?
Yep.
Nice.
Which is interesting because Legoland was like, screw you guys, we didn't do this. What?
Right.
Psst, thanks very much.
Right.
But yeah, it was amazing. The whole town, like seriously, it felt like the whole town was there because you couldn't move along the sidewalks. I'm actually looking forward to going back tomorrow on my lunch break and being able to see some of the stuff. And I tried to take a couple pictures, but shadows and everything just made it really difficult.
Right.
But yeah, like the pumpkin guy we talked about last time and the sand sculpting and the chalk is very interesting, but I actually started looking up like really interesting forms of art. Like this guy is, I think he's a Russian. He paints with Molotov cocktails, which makes absolutely no sense. And you start reading the article.
Sounds fun though.
It sounds incredibly fun. He takes homemade napalm.
Pretty much anything. If you say anything with Molotov cocktails, it's right. A fun time.
Do I have to paint with them? Can I just throw them at the wall and then it's more of a...
arson?
More of an abstract art.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good luck selling that. No, this guy actually uses homemade napalm.
I don't have to sell it. I'm just saying.
No, I meant like selling it as in I burnt down this house in the sake of art.
Oh.
For the sake
of art? They've done weirder things in the name of art. Yeah, I'm sure you could get away with that.
So homemade napalm. That's what really, like, he takes homemade napalm.
Styrofoam and gasoline.
And other, he doesn't tell you how, which is probably a good thing. Creepy bastard.
I soap works better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It gelatinizes better.
Check, please. I'd like to get as far away from you two as possible.
Continue.
So he makes napalm and oil-based substances, and he sketches an outline of these portraits, and then he puts them on, like, you know, obviously Russia, there's a bunch of old buildings that no one's ever using, so, like, the picture is just a wall of a building. He hangs this giant canvas up and throws a Molotov cocktail at it, and it burns, obviously, along the lines that he wanted it to, but there's a certain chaotic feature that makes some really, like, you guys got to check these pictures out. You would think, like, what, it's just going to burn the whole canvas up. No, it doesn't. It's freaking awesome.
It really is cool looking.
Although this one, I think, is my favorite, and this is totally screwed up. This Japanese art collective turns street rats into taxidermied Pikachus.
That is, oh my gosh. Horrifying. Not okay.
So apparently they caught all these street rats nets, and they put up quite a fight. PETA, I have no idea how they killed them, but they taxidermied them. They put wires in their tails to make their tails all jagged. They paint them yellow and put the little cheeks on them and put like giant beads as eyeballs, and they look like rats that got in their mommy's blush or something. They're freaking terrifying.
Wow.
That, yeah. I'm...
Oh, wait. This one, I think, is my favorite. It's the center picture.
What is that?
That's a rat with his legs splayed.
Yeah.
He's like, check out my sack. I'm wearing makeup.
I'm not generally easily disturbed, but I think that did it.
Point for Jen. All right.
Pika.
So wrong, dude. There's apparently like a documentary and everything else. I don't want to watch it. I mean, like,
that's nightmare fuel.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, addressing a need, we have all these excess rats, and I mean, I want to know if people are buying these. Like, I want to know if people, like, you know, like, there's that crazy guy who buys like all the Japanese girls' underwear out of vending machines, who's right. like, oh, something new to collect.
I don't get all art, and I'm realizing more and more frequently I get it less and less.
Right.
Like, I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that's weird. I wouldn't call it art. I would.
I think the problem isn't so much that you don't get the art. I think it in this case, it's the artists don't get the art.
No, but see, that's the scary thing. You know, somebody, and not just one person, multiple people have come across this and been like, "Ooh, I want one."
They don't get the art either.
You can get it. But see, this is there are certain tests of humans.
I could crap on a plate and put it on display and say, "This is art." Somebody would buy it. Somebody, there would be a group of people that were like, brilliant. I mean, the masterful swoops is really.
Wow.
the way he pinched. Just the right time.
It's genius. I mean,
he must have trained himself to eat certain things. No. Is that considered disposable art or no?
Yeah. It will eventually fossilize, I think, under the right conditions. So.
Turn into a copper light.
You sell it to the collector under the pretense that you have to put it in these certain conditions, and in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, your kids will have this grandiose piece of artwork.
Right.
Brilliant.
Well, as an example, in this German museum, this cleaning lady's going around doing her nightly cleaning, and there's this installation by Martin Kippenberger, and it's called When It Starts Dripping from the Ceiling. So at the bottom of this, it's wooden slats and little stuff, and at the bottom there's this collection of what looks like water and patina in this base. So this cleaning lady was like, oh man, somebody screwed this up, and cleans it. So now the artist died in 97, so there's really no way to fix it,
right?
And it's the insurance company has it valued at 800,000 euros.
Wow.
So $1.1 million US.
For dripping for a patina? Mess?
No, it doesn't even drip. This is my point. It just looked like water had dripped into it and had patinaed the metal. And there was another one that they mentioned in the article, because this apparently isn't the first time. Quote-unquote grease stain by Joseph Boys, valued at around 46,000 pounds. Was cleaned up because it was a grease stain on the floor of the museum, and some cleaning crew person went, how the hell did this get here?
Right.
Took a mop to it. And
now here's the thing. Do you fire that cleaning person or do you commend them for a job well done?
Right.
Well, no, it turned out cleaning crews had orders to keep 20 centimeters or 8 inches away from the artworks, but it was unclear if the woman had been informed of this.
Yeah. I'm sure there has to be, you know, some kind of designated, this is art.
What? If you saw a bunch of rats, would you be like, oh, don't touch that, it's art?
Right. If
the cleaning lady saw a platter of your shit on the ground, would she be like, oh, that's disgusting?
Well, if it was, I mean...
thankfully, enough, it's on this plate so I can pick it up.
She'd probably overlook that one. But I mean, a grease stain? I've got one of those on my garage floor.
Right.
And I will pay cash money if somebody will clean it.
346,000 pounds?
Hell no. I'm just saying, if I could sell that, then I could buy the house.
Yeah, you're better off carving it out and selling it for...
Right? Oh.
Grease stain by Jer.
I call this Tiburon expulsion.
I like it.
I've been working on this. How old's your car? What year's your car?
04.
Since 2004.
Yes.
Painstakingly.
7-year project.
It's definitely worth more than that, then.
Oh, yeah. It's halfway to an antique.
You should throw some glitter on it and be like, ta-da! Because glitter makes art.
That's what I've always found.
Better yet, just have a stripper roll around in it. It'll be more, you know, abstract that way.
I'm down with that regardless. I just need to find a stripper and come hang out in my garage. No problem.
Best of luck with that. I'm making art. I need you to baby oil yourself up, throw on some sparkles, and roll around on my garage floor. No, really, it's art.
When you find that line, save my spot. tweet it and save my spot.
Okay, more reasons to not want to be around you guys. You guys are terrifying. Like, seriously. While you go out and look for strippers, I'm going to go find this place in Tin City where I can hug an alligator for $5.
In Tin City?
Yeah. Apparently there's a place in Florida called Tin City. And this guy...
Of course it's in Florida.
Of course it's in Florida. Well, it has to do with alligators, so of course right. It's in Florida. Gator Man Mike. His real name is, you know, Mike something or other, but who cares? He prefers to be called Gator Man Mike. He's been raising alligators since they were, like, you know, forever. And he's opening up this place where for $5 you can hug this alligator. And apparently they put the Velcro muzzle on it so that it doesn't attack you. But because they're cold-blooded, they like the warmth and they're okay with being hugged.
Aww.
It's really cute.
Who knew?
Well, and of course he goes through the whole process.
That's why they're so nasty. They just want to hug.
They just want to hug. They're misunderstood.
But you have to hug them from the right side because they don't seem to like when you jump on the top of them and put your hands over their eyes and try to pin them down hug.
Right.
Oh.
So you're hugging them from their belly?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, it has pictures of this little
small.
30, it's a 5-foot gator.
Because I was going to say, pounds. they have claws.
I mean,
yes.
They're
but no, like they
belly
actually,
size is not necessarily safe.
They actually put this alligator on your chest, and he puts his little gator paws, legs, because they don't have paws.
Does he purr then?
Fish bark, so who the hell knows? But no, seriously, like they have like pictures of kids coming in and hugging this alligator, and he's just like, whatever, because he likes the warmth. He likes being up against your torso. Especially as the weather starts to get a little cooler.
Hmm.
So for $5, you can go and get hugged and whatever else. But the funny thing is that, of course, the city protested and, like, different animal groups protest. And he's like, look, I'm taking care of these animals. They were bred in captivity. They cannot be released into the wild because, of course, alligators being used to humans is not a good idea.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you, like, have an alligator that wants snuggles, you should definitely not let that bad boy go. But finally, like, they couldn't come up with the reason not to allow him to operate once he got his $1 million liability insurance. $5 for a hug, but you need $1 million liability insurance.
Wait, wow. He does? Yeah, he needs $1 million.
Yeah, as the business. Right. The business needs $1 million in liability insurance so that people can come hug his gators. Huh. Only in Florida.
Only in Florida.
At no point in my entire life. Have I ever thought, you know, it'd be nice. I'm lonely. I really need a $5 hug. Where's a gator?
Right.
I had never thought that I wanted this, but now that it's available to me, sorry, Louis, no. CK. I can do that. I want to do that.
I want to do that. Do the shit out of that.
Whoa.
That's $15.
And you probably need more than the Velcro muscle.
What's crazy, you can get an alligator now to come baby oil itself up with glitter and make art in your garage.
Right.
Gator rolls, that would be extremely effective.
It would.
And the pattern would be interesting.
It would.
You're going to need more goats.
What is that guy doing with all the goats? Would people get more or less concerned that, of course, you know, we discussed the bringing the goats in all the time and they're never coming out and we'd grill a lot. But if you had a gator eating the goat, then the goat never comes out. No grilling is ever happening. Would people be more or less concerned about that?
Then you're just feeding the goat or feeding the gator.
More or less concerned, I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah.
Right.
I now have this image of like sitting on the couch. It's 5-foot gators. He's sitting on the couch. Gator's head is in your lap. Gator body across the couch, and you're just stroking. And he's purring. And then like if the cat jumps up, he's like, because gators hiss. Scares the cat. Cat's like, shit. Just continue petting the gator, like Mad Cat style.
See, I was thinking less hissing, more. No cat.
Right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you go ahead and let the gator lay on your lap. Let me know how that one works out.
There's definitely a dirty joke to be made there.
There is. And I think we already made it in a previous episode.
Oh, I couldn't come up with anything clever, just the word snatch.
You can't do that.
You're both laughing.
I can't come up with a joke, but wrench.
Gators snatched at their prey.
Right.
It has the dirty double entendre. Nothing? Okay, fine. Screw you guys.
No, it's still funny you said snatch.
Apparently that's all it takes to chair.
Well, then we know you're really great at punchlines and can't remember the jokes that they come from. So, so yeah, I take the laugh where I can get it. I don't know if you guys have
noticed, but at this point in the show, I've been drinking. Shit, everything's funny now.
Right.
So I'm going to bring it out on another art-related story that I just found. Russia's a...
art, giant air quotes.
Yeah, art.
poop on a plate.
So Russia's an interesting place, and this article is 32 awesome explanationalist photos from Russia, because really, like, there's always really good pictures coming out of Russia. I've seen ones of babies drinking beer and just all kinds of
smoking
stuff.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. So you guys got to check some of these out. But, so, I mean, some of the highlights are man getting attacked with a little kettleball. There are not one, but two very artsy photographs that feature dogs humping each other. And maybe not necessarily feature, but they're in the picture.
Well, they're not necessarily even in the background. Right. They're just even with the rest of the foreground.
But the pictures have no subject themselves, really. It's just kind of a shot, and there just happens to be dogs humping. There's one that looks like they're rugby players, soccer players, whatever, and then it's, you know, the rugby players are in the background, and then the cheerleaders are in the foreground, and they're laying down, and they're all very attractive women, and apparently their cheerleading outfit is the Lilu from Fifth Element, her strap suit,
but that's in black.
In black, that's what they're wearing. So,
awesome.
Yeah, go Russia.
Multipass.
People in gold. There's another weird one of what is an elderly couple walking next to two people who are dressed up. It's obvious that they're wearing suits that are black drag queens.
Which, yeah.
Yeah. Yep, second dog humping. a couple that feature people in penguin suits talking to police officers.
I really want to go watch Eurotrip right now.
Yeah. I've never seen this.
Oh, terrible movie, but funny. It's one of those really stupid comedies. Well, clearly,
if this is what reminded you of this movie, yes. Then now I'm interested.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's good, because last time I told somebody something was good, they went out and bought the DVD. I'm like, good Lord, you bought that piece of crap? No, it's, watch it. just watch it.
I think the best one, though, is probably this one that it looks like it's probably taking place under or near a bridge. There's two people talking, and then there's a naked man standing very shortly, you know, off to the side, and he's stark naked, grabbing his junk, and he's very happy. Yeah. You know, whatever this situation is where he's standing there nude, he's thrilled about it.
Right. Comparatively, he feels like he's in the best position available of the three people in the shop.
Yeah, because the other one, you know, there's a lady pointing, and she looks a little upset, and yeah, no, he's having a...
Like she's almost scolding the kid who's wearing clothes.
Right. Should be more like your father.
I truly am going to be disappointed if I go to Russia and there are not awkward naked men holding their junk in random spots along the road.
Because that's really, I mean, that's what you go to Russia for. I'm pretty sure it's on the flag. And
drag queen suits. Is this not a tourist site? What? This isn't visitrussia.org?
Nope. So, yeah. And so definitely read that article, because the last picture is a great one to go out on. It's just some statue and a very angry looking little girl in front of it.
Is that a statue of Lenin?
It might be.
Yeah, she looks pissed.
Yep.
But at the cameraman, like, not the statue. Not at
Lenin. Three, we should note.
Yes. In her little Sunday dress. Yep. Cute.
Yep.
So I love how this episode ended up being a chime artsy to turn the page episode. Please make sure that you're following along in your handbooks at home.
Yeah. When in doubt, make sure you go to the website, because it's really going to help with some of these stories.
Yep, this episode has a lot of visual aids.
Not safe for work episode? We might want to put that tag on there.
True, yes.
Most of them aren't.
But. No. That explicit warning should be enough.
If you had headphones, then that's one thing. But if you're following along at home and you know, you're turning the page when you hear the chimes, this is not shit you want to bring up on your browser at work.
Actually, it turns out even at work with headphones, not the best idea, because you just start cracking laughing, up. Yeah, yeah. And people look at you, and sometimes you get in trouble.
Yep.
That actually, we got a note on that.
I take that as a very positive note.
Absolutely. Yep. I was like, great, keep listening.
Yeah. To that person.
Jeopardize that job for us.
That's, seriously. That's... Listen on your way to or from work right. if you need to.
But no, yeah. no.
I'm just saying. I don't want
visual imagery while people are driving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Yep.
This is a show, and not to mention, you're supposed to be drinking. So you really, this is best suited for you to be sitting at home in front of your computer with your not dial-up connection.
Right.
If you are listening on dial-up, number one, I want to know how long it took you to download the episode and how long it took you to pull up each individual picture.
Well, the average episodes, I think, are about 60 to 80 megs. So on a dial-up, I mean, assume it's a 56K.
Right. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
I love the math. It's going to be a while.
It's, yeah.
Take this moment right now that as you're listening to us, as you're pulling up these images, as you're giggling along in real time, that you're not that 399 people. Just a little moment of thanks brought to you by the Half Hour Happy Hour. And polish it off with some beer.
Yep. So thanks again for joining us. And try not to miss us too much until next week. And if you get married, hopefully it'll last longer than the week.
Unless nice. It's not worth it, in which case, kick that bitch to the curb.
Right.
I note that bitch could be male or female.
Yep.
And scene.